today's what was that? Okay, today's independent sugya, we're going to start on the bottom of the daf chaf beis amud aleph. If there's no interest, I mean, let me know if there's actual interest.
No, there's interest.
In the shir or the barbecue?
In the barbecue. The shir we're doing whether there's interest or not. The barbecue is dependent on interest. The shir is not dependent on interest. Okay, still collecting a paycheck here, so I got to, you know, even if it's an empty room. Baruch Hashem, look, we have a nice, you know, nice item. Okay, so Tashma. So we're going to pick up from the bottom of the daf chaf beis amud aleph, and what we're going to do today is the sugya of hechsher lekavul tumah. I know it may not sound exciting when someone, you know, you come home and mom says, hey, what did you learn about in yeshiva today? And you say, hechsher lekavul tumah. But I'm telling you, it is exciting. It's a very gishmak sugya that works out very beautifully in the Rishonim. So let's see. So Tashma, says Gemara, we still bring arayas back and forth in terms of Yayush Shalomitas. So Gemara brings the following raya. Odeo hatal alehem. If the dew is still on your payrolls, what? What payrolls? What are we talking about? Says Rashi, Hamala payrolls of the gag, v'yard alehem hatal. You brought your fruits up to the roof. Why on earth would you bring your fruits up to a roof? Not to get rained on, the opposite, to dry in the sun. Right, you want to dry your fruits. You bring all your grapes up to the roof because you love raisins, or your figs up to the roof to make your dried figs, and you forgot to take them back down before nightfall. So overnight you left them out on the roof, and now the tal, the dew, has landed on them. Odeo atal aleihem v'samach, and you say, ah, gishmak. Now it has a fresh layer of dew on them, and for some reason that makes you happy. You want your fruits to have a fresh layer of dew on it. Hareza b'chiyutan. That's included in the pasuk of kiyutan, which means that it is hukshar lekabel tumah. Among the mashkin that can be machshir of food to be lekabel tumah. Let's start with the basics. Food cannot become tameh unless it is first hukshar lekabel tumah. How does it become hukshar lekabel tumah? It comes into contact with one of seven liquids. One of those liquids is tal. So mele, as long as you are happy about the fact that the tal landed on your food, it is hukshar lekabel tumah. Negavo afal pisha samach. If it dried before you ever found it, even though now you're thinking, oh, it was really good that the tal fell on it, but while the tal was still there, you were totally unaware of it, but you only found it at 12 o'clock in the afternoon when the sun has already dried up all the dew. So all the dew is gone already, but you're happy about the fact that it was. You're happy about the fact that it was there. Just at the time that it was there, you had no idea. Meaning, what does this sound like? This sounds like Tasla Mafreya. This sounds very much like Yair Shalomidas. When I discovered what had previously happened, I'm happy about it. But at the time that it was actually happening, I had no idea. So I couldn't be happy about it. I had no idea. Just like Yair Shalomidas. When the guy picked up my mitzia, I had no idea that I lost it. Had I been aware that I lost it, I would have what? I would have been Miyayish. That's exactly Yair Shalomidas. So when you find out later, you say, oh, I'm happy that it once was with talon, it ainon v'chiyutan. So time am I. Lav nishum delo amrinon kivin degloi milsa dahash nichalei meyakar nami nichalei. Isn't this telling us that yish lomidas lo have yish? That we do not apply das l'mafreya, because we said it does not become mokshar l'kabal tumah, even though when I find out that there was dew on it earlier in the day, I'm happy about it. That's not enough to be machshir lekabel tumah. So it says, nah, that's a different story. Shiny hasam. The case of hechsher lekabel tumah is different. Tuchsiv ki yitain ad sheyitain. Food does not become hechsher lekabel tumah when it comes in contact with one of the seven liquids. It's a misnomer. It's not true. It's a misconception. Food becomes hechsher lekabel tumah when you place one of the seven liquids on it. Over here, you didn't place any of the seven liquids on it. That's what the Gemara is saying at this line. So that's why San Hoshul Kabbatum says, wait a second, that's not true. Because I never put tal on food. Who puts tal on food? Hashem does. Ihachi Reshanami. And the case of the Resha was, I wake up in the morning, I see a fresh layer of dew on my figs, and I say, awesome. And we said, good, now it's Hoshul Kabbatum. I didn't put it there. How's that Hoshul Kabbatum? Says Mara, okay, a little bit, it's not about you putting it there, nor is it about just tal touching the food. Meaning initially at stage one of the Gemara we thought anytime any of the seven liquids touch food, hukshul kabel tumah. Stage two of the Gemara we assumed, no, I have to put it there in order for it to be hukshul kabel tumah. Stage three, and maskana is, and there's Gemara and Kiddusha as well, is that I don't have to put it there, but not every time it just lands there is it actually a couple. It's somewhere in between. What's the somewhere in between? Kidrav Papa. Rav Papa Rami. Rav Papa has a stira between two pasukim, the same pasuk, but between kri and ksiv. Ksiv ki yitain. The way the Torah spells out the word of, that describes the liquid touching the food in order to be makshir to be makabel tumah, it says yitain, meaning you place it there. The karinan, but the kri is ki yutan. What does yutan mean? Yeah, it happened. It was placed. Haketzad, how are both of those true? Is it that you had to place it, or is it that it was placed? So be'inon ki yutan dunya d'chi yitain. Ma yitain l'das, av yutanami l'das. If it was just yutan, it was just placed there, even if I didn't do the placing, it could still be machshir l'kabel tumah, provided that that I have das, provided that I approve of the placement of that liquid. So do I need to actually place the liquid on the food? No, I don't need to actually place the liquid on the food. But it does every time liquid, every time tal lands on my food, is every time that happens, every time it's going to be makshul kabel tumah? No, that's not true either, right? It has to be that tal or one of the seven liquids came in contact with my food and I was happy about it. I had das for it. Only then do we say that it's machshir l'kabel tumah. Unless you think, okay, hechshir l'kabel tumah, really, we're going to spend the whole shiur in hechshir l'kabel tumah. Why is hechshir l'kabel tumah so important? I don't know. All I know is that it's a mesechta in Shas. There's a whole mesechta called Mesechas Machshirin. So, apparently it was important enough for an entire mesechta. So, probably it's important enough for, 45 minutes of your time, right? So let's, plus morning say. Okay. So let's start analyzing a little bit over here. There are two psukim that actually describe Hakshul Kabel Tumah. Let's start at the beginning. There are two psukim that actually describe Hakshul Kabel Tumah. Vayikra Perikir Alf Pasuk Lamed Dalet Mikol Ha'ochel Asher Yeachel Asher Yavo Alav Mayim Yitma. Any food that has come in contact with water, only if it's come in contact with water, is it eligible to become tamei. Right? That's one pasuk. And then there's a pasuk the Gemara quotes, which is just a few pasukim later. Four pasukim later. Pasuk lamed ches. V'chi yutan mayim alzera, yutan is the way it's pronounced, even though it's spelled yud taf nun. V'chi yutan mayim alzera, when water was placed on food, v'nafal mi nivlasam alav, and then a nevela touches the food, tamei hu lechem. Right? The food becomes tamei. So both of these psukim teach us the din, that a food is mekabel tumah only if it becomes moist in advance. If the food never touched any liquid, it is not mekabel tumah. What about food that's still attached to the ground?
No way.
It does not become hukshul kabel tumah. It's only once it's detached from the ground. How do you know that has to be the case? Yeah, every food that's attached to the ground has at some point come in contact with rain, and you've been happy about it, right? Because you want it to grow, right? So it's not, it can't be when it's attached to the ground. It means after you've already detached it from the ground, it becomes hukshul kabel tumah. The Mishnah in Maseches Machshirin, the Mishnah in the sixth paragraph of Maseches Machshirin says, even though in both examples, what liquid did the Torah identify as a liquid that has the ability to be machshir?
Water.
Water, right? Nevertheless, the Mishnah says it applies to Yad Shach Adam, to Tal, Yayin, Chalav, Shemen, Dvash, Dam, as well as Mayim. And Shulchan Aruch comes up with that mnemonic. Right, the mnemonic Yad Shach Adam. Mm-hmm. You think it was like your fifth grade Rebbe that came up with it? Not true. It wasn't your fifth grade Rebbe that came up with it. It is in Shulchan Aruch and Simen Kuf Nun Ches. Why Simen Kuf Nun Ches? What's going on in Kuf Nun Ches? Hilchos Matilas Adayim. Very good. And Darshan Tibul B'Mashke. Exactly. So Dafka over there, Shulchan Aruch uses the mnemonic of Yad Shach Adam, that a hand slaughters blood, but it's really a mnemonic for Yayin Dvash Shemen Chalav Tal Dam Mayim. Good? Okay. Now, the fundamental machlokas that we're going to carry through everything is the machlokas we mentioned already last week. And that is, what's the idea over here? Why is it that a food has to come in contact with liquid before it's makabel tum, before it can become tameh? Okay, the Torah says so. Good. But what's the inyan? How do we explain this din of the Torah? So Sefer HaChinuch HaMitzvah Kuf Samech, I think you have in your Makamos, explains that a food is not makabel tum until it's a food, until it's nigmar malachta, until it's finished developing into a food. Most people, before they would eat any fruits or vegetables, would first wash it off. Unless you tell me, what are you talking about? If my mom's not looking, I totally eat fruits without washing it off. Yeah, because they've already been washed off. Meaning, they've already been washed. By the time you see them in the supermarket, they don't sell like red peppers with dirt all over them, the way they actually grow when they pick them up. Right? They've already been washed off at that point. Most people would obviously wash off their food before eating it. So it only becomes an ochel, right? The Lashon Sefer HaChinuch is, lo yu nekra an ochel ad shiuchshiru b'mayim. They would not be in ochel until they're first washed in water, and that's why they're not mekabel tumah, because an ochel is mekabel tumah, but it's not an ochel until you finish preparing it as an ochel, and the gemar melacha is when it's rinsed. Yeah. So that's a good question. Why is it that vegetables that are inedible raw, those vegetables that are inedible raw, would already be mekabel tumah beforehand, if this is the svara? Right? It's a good question.
I mean, is it inedible or is it not there at all?
It's the same over here, though. No one eats it at that point. But that's
how... What? It's not inedible. It's still edible.
Yeah, no one eats it, though. So, meaning over here also, it's not inedible, I guess, to eat a food that's not washed, right? All right, anyway, but that's the sheet of the Sefer Chinuch, Mitzvah Kuf Samech. That's how the Sefer Chinuch writes. The obvious kasha is, what would be the reason for foods that are not peros v'irakos? Meaning, do you wash your donut before you eat it? Right? There are foods that are not peros v'irakos that you don't need to rinse off before you eat. So Sefer HaChinuch himself explains that since peros v'irakos can only become an ochel when you rinse them, and God's food is peros v'irakos, meaning the food that God gave us, not God's food, God doesn't eat, the food that God gave us, you know, in its completed form is peros v'irakos, so Mela, everything goes, it's like a loplug, everything follows peros v'irakos. It's also difficult to understand, and you'd have to give the same answer, you would never eat your red pepper without first rinsing it in water. What about rinsing it in blood? So you would never eat it after rinsing it in blood, right? So that also you have to say loplug. You have to, anyway, you're going to say loplug. Since water, it's true, and that's why the Torah's example is water, but for whatever reason, in Torah Shabbat, we expand it to beyond water. Now Rashi, on that second pasuk of Kiyutan, Rashi explains in a very similar way. Meaning it's not just Shitas Ramban, it's not just Shitas Achinuch. Rashi says a very similar thing. Rashi writes over there, Lo hikpida Torah elelios alav sheim ochel. Can you get more explicit? Right? That what we're makbid about is that it should have a sheim ochel. The Rashbam also says, Tchilas tikunam v'ikor chashivusam l'tzorech achila. That what's the role of the liquid that comes in contact with food? That's what makes it an ochel. That's what makes it edible. That's how Rashi, the Rashbam, Sefer HaChinuch, they all explain it. It's mashlim l'shem ochel. Who disagrees? Ramban ala Torah. Ramban ala Torah, v'yikr yud alef lamed zayin, dibur maskel v'tam ha-hechsher, writes that on a metaphysical level, things that have the ability to be metame need some sort of glue to allow the tumma to stick to that which they're metame. Meaning, we've given the mashal before, right? Just like if you were to take a fruit physically and put it in a sandbox and then take it out of the sandbox and shake it off, it's totally fine. It will be totally clean. All the sand will fall right off. But if you were to take a wet fruit and put it in the sandbox and roll it around and pick it up, all of the sand would be stuck to the fruit. So to on a metaphysical level, that if the tumma comes in contact with the fruit, the tumma just slides right off. But once the fruit has become wet, that serves as like the glue that makes the tuma stick to the food. That's how the Ramban seems to understand, that a food is not mekabel tuma unless it's become wet. So it turns out, according to the Ramban, that in order for, it's not about shem ochel, it's a beginning of the tuma process. Meaning in order for tuma to stick, it first needs to be wet, and then tuma. And that's how you, meaning for your task, how to, in terms of making something tame, even before it ever became wet, it was a fruit, it was a shem ochel. But now I want to know how to make this ochel tame, wetness plus tuma, that will, wetness plus exposure to tuma, that will make it tame. That's how the Ramban seems to understand. It'll be lots of nafkaminas. We're going to see. That's all she. Now, what about, according to the Ramban, what's the halacha in the following case? What if you have an apple that was washed, and now it's totally dry? And now a sheretz touches it. Is it mekabel tuma or not? So, what's the halacha actually, without any argument in Tanayim?
Yeah.
Yes, it is mekabel tuma. According to the Sefer HaChinuch, it's great. I understand why it's mekabel tuma. Why is it mekabel tuma? It's a shem ochel. As soon as you wash it, it's a shem ochel. It doesn't lose the shem ochel when it dries off. Adrabba. It's even better when it's dried off. You already washed it, now it's dry. It's a shem ochel. According to the Ramban, well, wait a second. If I need that glue to allow the tuma to stick and the glue is gone, right? Imagine the apple that has dried off. It was wet once, dried off, and now you put it in the sandbox. The sand will still slide right off of it. So according to the Ramban, asked this kasha on himself, and the Ramban says lo plug, meaning just like Sefer HaChinuch had to say lo plug in terms of washing it with dam and in terms of food that you don't wash. So everyone's got to say lo plug on a Dorais level in some way or another, right? And that's one of Rav Yosef Engel's essays, is about where do we ever find the lo plug midaraisa. Here you do. Whoever sheet that you go like, there's a low plug on a daraisa level.
What role would
Rav Zalman? Oh, good. We'll get there too. Good. Rashi is a little bit challenging. If you look in Rashi on Chumash, Rashi writes that in Vayikra Yural Vam Ches, Af mishenignav minamayim, even after it's dried out, shelo hikpida Torah elios alav shame ocha. Right? Sounds like which shita? Sefer Achim. Umishayar alav hechsher kabbalas tuma pamachas shoveinu nekarim. And therefore, once it became hechsher kabbalas tuma, it is an ocha. Sefer Achim. And therefore, the hechsher kabbalas tuma doesn't leave. So it sounds great, right? But then Rashi feels like he needs to explain why it should still be mekabel tuma even after it's dry. Now, according to the Sefer HaChinuch, do you need to explain why it should even be mekabel tuma after it's dry? You don't even need to explain. Like, Rashi could stop. It's only if you're working within the model of the Ramban that you need to explain why it's able to be mekabel tuma after it dries. So says Rashi that, after it dries, it's not going to lose the hechsher l'kabel tuma, even after it dries. So apparently Rashi feels that it's worthy of explanation. So that's a little bit of a challenge in Rashi. I mean, if you're really going with Sefer HaChinuch, you don't need the second half of Rashi. If you're really a shame ochel person, then you don't need to explain why after it dries, it's still going to be able to be mekabel tuma, because of course it's shame ochel. Okay. You could argue that it's not really such kasha. You got to take a look at Rashi. So here's what we're going to do. We already explained the fundamental machlok of Sefer HaChinuch Ramban, right? What's the idea of Hechsher L'Kabel Tuma? Next step, are there any rayos? To the Ramban, to Sefer HaChinuch. And then, after the rayos, time permitting, nafkaminas, right? We'll get to Alex's nafkaminas, right? Rayos and nafkaminas, and through that, we'll also touch on Yosef's issue about why does Ratzon matter? When does Ratzon matter? Okay, so slow. First riots. There is a Gemara in Chulin, Kufir Chesem and Aleph. Gemara is in Yomar Makomas. Peros shelo hukshru, ketano shelo nigma melachta dami. That if you have peros that are not hukshru l'kabel tuma, it's like an oven that's not yet built. meaning you're in the middle of building something, it's not yet complete. So when does a kli become a kabel tuma? When is a kli a kabel tuma? When you finish building. If you haven't finished building it, it's not yet mekabel tuma. Why isn't it mekabel tuma if you haven't finished building it? It's not a kli. It only has a shem kli when you finish building it. So look what the Gemara does. A food that is not hukshel mekabel tuma is like a kli that's not yet fully built. Right, meaning it doesn't have a shem yet. It doesn't have a shem kli, it doesn't have a shem ochel, which is exactly sefer achim. That's raya number one, that's probably the best raya we're going to see. Right? It's pretty strong. Second raya. To this Shem Ochel, Sefer Achinuch, Rashi, this idea. Tosos and Maseches Nidan, Daf Nun Amar Aleph. Tosos writes that there's a possibility that food that's been rinsed for Machel Behema is not Hachshol Lekabel Tuma. Meaning, let's say I rinse the food, but not because I want to eat it, but because I want my animals to eat it. That's not called Hachshol Lekabel Tuma. Now, is that possibility a logical possibility within the Ramban? Not at all, right? According to the Ramban, I don't care why it got rinsed, what my motivation was in washing the food. If it's got the glue, the tumah's going to stick. But if you hold like the Sefer Achinuch, you hold like Sefer Achinuch, that when you rinse it, it gives it a shame, ochel. What if I'm rinsing it with no intention to use it for food? It's just going to be animal food. So maybe there's a hava, I mean, at least, and that's why Tosfos could at least raise the possibility, even though Tosfos rejects it in the end. But at least it's a logical possibility that Shem Ochel is defined as my plans to use it as an Ochel. And if I'm only using it as Machel Behema, maybe it doesn't have a Shem Ochel. So according to Ramban, it doesn't get off the ground. According to Sefer Chinuch, the hava mina at least makes sense as a hava mina. Yeah.
And it's animal food or
We're assuming that this is something that would be edible for a human also. But you're choosing, your intention is never to eat it. So you understand, again, not lamaskana, hava amina. That we have a hava amina, at least, that would be a chisaron in shem ochel. Lamaskana, it's not a chisaron because physically it's edible. But at least a hava amina. Also, there's a Gemara in Kiddushin that says, it's our Gemara also, but in Kiddushin and Tess, it's a little bit more elaborate. Kiyitain kiyutan, right? That whole drasha. So, kiyutan dumya de kiyitain, ma yitain de nichalei, af kiyutan de nichalei. That it's not enough that it comes in contact with the liquid, it has to come in contact with the liquid with your approval. Right? It has to, with the das bailin, with the approval of the bailin. So the Gemara distinguishes in that sugi over there in Kiddushin between what's called the machshava and the maisa in Kala Tarukula. That a machshava could be mevata la machshava, but a machshava cannot be mevata la maisa. If something happens as a result of physical activity, me thinking otherwise will not change it. Right? But if something only happened in the first place as a result of machshava, well then my machshava could change it. If a person's ratzon is a, you know, your desire that this fruit get wet is a tenai in hechsher ochlin, so the Gemara suggests that would be considered a maisa and not just a machshava. That my desire for this fruit to get wet is an actual maisa and not a machshava. Why would it be a maisa? It's not a maisa. By definition, ratzon is not a maisa, right? Huh? So what comes out of my ratzon? So if what comes out of it is a shem ochel, I've now made this a food, you understand why such a machshava could be elevated to the realm of maisa. But if what comes out of it is not shem ochel, it's just that, okay, now it has the glue so that it can be hufshol kabel tuma. So it's one of the tenoim that needs to be fulfilled in order for kabbalah tuma. It's much more difficult to understand why a second machshava is any weaker than the first machshava. Why a second machshava cannot be mevat in the first machshava? Why would you say, ein machshava mevat machshava, ein dibur mevat al dibur kind of thing? Right? Why would you say that, oh, I planned initially, I was happy about it, but now I'm unhappy about it. And we say, oh, no, no, sorry, once you're happy about it, it's a done deal. Why? Why would it be a done deal? Why is my second machshava any weaker? But if my first machshava gave it a shame ochel, that's like a maisa. That already has the strength of the maisa. My second machshava wouldn't be able to undo it. And then the fourth raya is our sugya. Right? The fourth raya is our sugya, b'mitzia. Because what happened in our sugya? We're associating Hechshel Kabbatum with what? Yesh Lamidas. So, if you understand, like, or Soloveitchik, and the Chazanish, and what is it about Yesh Lamidas? It's not just about Das L'mafreya. What is it about Yesh Lamidas? It's Mashlim L'Shem Aveda. Meaning, I'm walking down the street, and I see an object there that does not belong to me, it belongs to somebody else. Why am I not allowed to pick it up? Because it is not mine. It would be stealing. Right? But if the bailim was miyaish, then what happens? I'm allowed to pick it up. Why? Because it is an aveda. It's an aveda. An aveda I'm allowed to keep. Only when there is yeyush is it an aveda. So the whole issue in our Gemara is, what about yeyush lamidas? Does it have a shame aveda when there's a presumed yeyush? You understand the comparison to Hechshel Kabbal Tumma. If Hechshel Kabbal Tumma is about what? Is about what? Shame ochel. If it's about being mashlim, shame ochel, it parallels very beautifully to the sugya of yeyush, which is mashlim shame aveda. But if it's just a technical step in the process of tumma, but it's not about defining this as nocha. It's just like, how does tumma happen? Well, first you need the tumma glue, the special tumma glue, and then the tumma, you know, comes in contact with it, so the tumma sticks. Well, then it's got nothing to do with our sugya. Right? It has absolutely nothing to do with our sugya. It should be pointed out, though, this raya is only a raya if you learn like the Chazanish and Salvation. If you learn like seems like Tosfos, right? From the bottom of Chafez and Aleph. The Tosfos we spent the entire yesterday sharing today, Semen Alachan, right? If you learn like that Tosfos, it's all about Daslam Afreya. Daslam Afreya is always the same in Okala Torah Kula. It's not about being Mashlim Shem Aveda, and therefore this isn't being about Mashlim Shem Ochel. It's all just Daslam Afreya, and therefore it doesn't matter whether it's about being Mashlim Shem Ochel or about a step in the process of Tumma. So that Raya is only a Raya if you learn the sugya in a particular way. Yeah? Good. Those are the rayas for the Sefer HaChinuch. Any rayas on the flip side? Any rayas for the Ramban? Question?
Just to understand the Sefer HaChinuch, when he says that it's in SOFAR that it makes it a shame ofa, do we say that that's required for Kol HaTorah Kula or just...
What do you mean for Kol HaTorah Kula?
I don't know. I can't think of something off the top of my head. That's something that requires an ofa mamish, let's say, a true Muslim mamish just required it. Meaning it's not considered a
shemo.
You're not. It's not food. You're not.
Can you be mafresh if it never got wet?
Yeah.
So there's no such halacha that you can't. And yet there is. Yes, so that's a little difficult because there is a din that achshetigmu melachta, right? You're not allowed to be maktim b'shibalim. The din of tevel and the chiyuv hafrasha is only when it had a gemar melacha. And presumably that's about the Shem Ocha. That's when it's Nigmar Melachta. I don't think there's any such halacha that has to get wet first. It's a good kasha. I don't know. Yeah, it seems Shem Ocha is very limited over here. Dafka for as far as Tumma is concerned. Why would that be the case? Good kasha. I don't know. Okay, any rayas in the other direction? So the Gemara Chulin Kufi Chesam Beis quotes a machlokas amaroyim whether there's yesh yad lahechsher or ein yad lahechsher. Wow, what does that mean? Guess what? There's another whole mesechta in Shas called Mesechas Yadayim. Oh, a whole mesechta just about hands? What's the mesechta about? It's not about this, right? Tumah, not about tumah of your yadayim. It's in Taros in terms of when there's a yad for a kli, like handles, like let's say you have an apple with a stem at the top of the apple. So you might pick up the apple by the stem and it will lift up the whole apple, right? So that is a yad for the apple. What if a sheretz touches just the stem? Is the stem tamei? The entire apple tamei? Nothing tamei? Right? So the Gemara is a discussion. Yesh yad lehechsher or ein yad lehechsher. What does that mean?
Water touches the stem.
So is the whole apple now hechsher lekabel tuma? Is there yad lehechsher and no yad lehechsher? So the Gemara says that the shita that says yesh yad lehechsher understands that hechsher is tchilas hatuma. The Gemara has such an expression. That the hechsher is the beginning of the tumah. That just like when you're metame the yad, you're metame the ikar as well, so too hechsher should work the same way, because hechsher is a step, a stage of tumah. If you're going to call hechsher a stage of tumah, and therefore it follows the same rules as tumah, what are you saying? That it's not about sheim ochel. It's about, this is a step in the process of tumah, like the Ramban. Right? So it seems that's an indication more on the side of the Ramban. Now we did point out that Rav Salvechik, Rav Shaptik quoted Rav Salvechik as saying, without quoting the Ramban, as saying that anyone who thinks that this is a step in the tumah process doesn't understand the first thing about Makhshir. I don't know, it's Ramban, and he's got, there's some rayas here. The Gemara seems pretty, that seems like a pretty strong raya. Another potential raya, a second potential raya, there's a question probably should have asked right at the beginning. The Medrash raises the question. What do we say? Vayikra Perek Yud Aleph Pasuk Lamed Daled tells us that only when a liquid touches the food is the food susceptible to tumah. And then Pasuk Lamed Ches, only when a liquid touches the food is the food susceptible to the tumah. Why do I need Pasuk? Five Pesukim apart from each other? Within a span of five Pesukim, we have the same exact halacha twice. Why is that necessary? So says the Medrash, Taras Kohanim, Parsha Shemini. Why do I need two Pesukim? So the Medrash says there are two different cases. First Pasuk is talking about a sheretz that falls inside a Kli Cheres, and the food becomes Tameh from the Kli, not from the sheretz. Meaning the rodent never touched the food. The rodent fell into the Kli, and it's Tameh Kli Cheres Ba'avira, right? And then the food touched the Kli. And that's how it became. Second pasuk is talking about direct, that the sheretz touched the food itself. How do I know that it's the second pasuk that's talking about direct, as well as the second pasuk? V'chiyut ad mayim al zera v'nafal minivlas amala. And the veil is the tuma, Allah, right? Whereas the first pasuk, mikol ochal asher yachal asher yavol av mayim yitma, it can become tana. However, not directly from the source of tuma, it becomes tana. However, it becomes tana. So that's why I need two psukim. So there are two ways you could possibly touch up this medrash. You could possibly understand this medrash. One way of understanding is that without the second pasuk, we would have thought that hechsher is needed only in a situation where the food becomes tameh from an avir kli cheretz. Meaning a sheretz falls into the kli cheretz, the kli becomes is metameh, the food that's inside of it. But if the sheretz is metameh, the food directly, what would the Havamina be? You don't even need Hechsher. The tumah, it's when the tumah's coming straight, you're getting it straight from the source. You don't even need Hechsher. That's the Havamina. Right? That's why I need a pasuk to tell me that even when you're getting it straight from the source, even then, even when it's in the most intense form, even then you need Hechsher. That's one way of understanding it. The other way of understanding it is that the first pasuk is talking about food that became tummy from a vlad hatuma, not from an av hatuma. What's a vlad hatuma? What does the phrase mean? Vlad hatuma? Yeah, meaning like a rishon, a sheni. Something that wasn't the original tuma. Comes tummy from a vlad hatuma. Sheretz is metame the kli, made it a rishon the tuma. The kli is metame the ochel, it's a sheni the tuma. Second case is talking about that it's makabal tuma from the sheretz itself, from the av hatuma that turns the food into a rishon. And without the second pasuk, we would have thought that hechsher tumah is needed only to make the food a rishon l'tumah. But to be a sheni l'tumah, that could happen even without hechsher. Meaning for food to become a sheni, it's not so tamay anyway. It's only a sheni. Maybe you don't need hechsher for that. So that's why I need a second pasuk to tell me that you even need hechsher if all it's going to be anyway is just a shame. Right? Those are two possible ways of understanding the Torah's Kohanim. Right? So the first way of understanding it is that the Hava Amina would have been that when you're getting the Tumah direct, you don't even need hechsher because it's coming so strongly. The second way of understanding is the opposite, that I would have thought that when the Tumah is weaker, you don't need hechsher because anyway it's not becoming super tumah. And only for real heavy tumah do you need hechsher. But for weak tumah you don't need hechsher. Either way, the havamin of the Torah's Kohanim seems much better according to the Ramban. Because whichever way you understand it, hechsher is a tenai in the Kabbalah Satumah. So you could distinguish between levels of tumah or ways that the tumah is being transmitted. If the whole issue were about shame ochel, right, is this a food or is it not a food, then what difference does it make whether you're getting from an avatuma or vladatuma, it's becoming an avatuma or vladatuma, whether you're getting it directly, not directly, it wouldn't make any difference. Is it an ochel or is it not an ochel? It shouldn't make any chilek whatsoever. It's all about whether it's an ochel or not. So this whole discussion of the Medrash seems to be a strong indication, like the Ramban, and against the Sefer HaChinuch. Yeah? Those are our rabbis. We haven't answered how the other one's going to end, right? That will require some more work, but come on, you know, this is machshirin for a day. But those are our rabbis. Nafkaminas. So, in the Sefer that I'm using, that I saw, he suggests that every machlokas that you're going to find, not every, but many machlokas that you'll find, the fundamental machlokas that you'll find about Hakshul Kabbal Tumah, will come back to a nachkamina between the Rabban and the Chum. Let's take two. B'metziyah Chav Beis, right? Hechsher only helps if it's Biratzon Ha'adam. We learn it, Kiyutan Mayim El Zera, Kiyutan Dumya De Kiyitain, Ma Kiyitain De Nichalei, Af Kiyutan De Nichalei. Even if the dew fell on itself, on your fruits, if you are happy about it, then it's Machshir L'Kabbal Tumah, right? That's what we learn from Kiyitain as like an active form of the word. Nesina Miratzon versus Kiyutan, which is Hechsher Biratzon Ha'Machshir. So the question is, whose ratzon do you need? Is it good enough that anybody on earth is happy about it? Or do you need, what's the other possibility? The person who owns it. The bailum to be happy about it. Is it tali in the ratzon of bailum or tali b'ratzon adab? So if you could understand that you need to be mashlim the shame ochel, it could be that the Bailum is more in charge of that, of what's called the food and what's not called the food, as far as he's concerned. Meaning if let's say, I have a pumpkin, right? So is a pumpkin a food? Yeah, you have a pumpkin pie or muffins or kugel or whatever, right? Pumpkin, right? But maybe I like celebrating Halloween. You're not supposed to like celebrating. Maybe I do, right? And I'm going to use it, so is it a food for me? No, although I think you do. I think they hollow it out and they use the inside, right? Okay, but let's say I can't stand pumpkin, but why do I buy a pumpkin? I hate pumpkin. Why? I'm allergic. Why do I buy a pumpkin? Because I want to put a candle in it and have it spooky or whatever, right? That's right. So it's not an ochel for me. The Biden's decision of how to use it may determine whether it's a shame ochel. So if a Bailum has no ratzon, that it should be a Shem Ochel, so maybe it's takanan a Shem Ochel. But if it's just a step in the Tumah process, meaning Tumah can't stick unless there's glue. Whatever I want to view the functionality of that glue to be, stuff sticks. Right? Meaning, whether I, you know, I want, okay, there is a halacha called ratzon. For whatever reason, we don't understand even of Tumah. There is halacha called ratzon. But there's no reason that I should have any more control over it than anybody else. It's true that Yosef's question of like, why do you ever need ratzon at all, is still a kasha. But to distinguish between my ratzon versus somebody else's ratzon wouldn't make any sense. Right? Ratzon is ratzon, meaning, okay, that's a necessary element of it, but it shouldn't matter whose ratzon is necessary. Who holds what? So the Rambam in Hilchos Tumas Ochel Perek Beis Halacha Aleph Paskins, Bailim. Ratzon is ratzon a Bailim. The Rambam Paskins in Hilchos Kelim, Perek Chafei Halacha Yir Aleph. Kelim are Mekabel Tumah only if the Bailim have Machshava on the Kelim. What does it mean Bailim have Machshava? I took a carpentry class. I didn't, but let's say I did, right? I took carpentry class. So I'm building myself. Start simple. I want to build myself a chair, right? So before I get into shtenders, I want to build a chair. So I have four legs. Right, it's a good start. I have a place to sit, right? A surface to sit on. I attach the four legs to the surface to sit on. Do I have a kli?
No.
Maybe.
Do you consider that to be a kli?
So that's Talia Mamashav. If I say, stool, perfect. It's a perfectly good stool. And that's my kli. I want to make a stool the whole time. That's a kli. But if my das was to make a chair, and I don't have machshavah to use it as a stool, I fall off a stool. I want a chair. I just haven't, I have to take the next class to figure out how to attach the back of the chair. So then it's not a kli yet, right? It's all totally in the machshavah. Who's machshavah? Someone else might come in and say, oh, sick, you're building a bar and you're going to have a stool for your bar. That's awesome. Okay, so someone else might think that it's great. And that it's a full kli, but I don't even know what I don't sit on stools. I'm not, So says the Rambam, totally on the Bailim, not anybody else. It's all about the Bailim. So it turns out that Bailim is what? Is Mashlim the Shem. Bailim is Mashlim the Shem kli. Bailim gets to be Mashlim the Shem Ochel. It fits so beautifully with the Gemara we quoted before, right? That an Ochel that doesn't have Hechsher is like what? An oven that's unfinished. Right? And who gets to determine what's finished? The Bailim gets to determine what's finished. So that's Shitas HaRambam. Shitas HaTosfos, quoted in the Rashba in Chulin Lamed Aleph Amud Beis, Rashba Chulin Lamed Aleph Amud Beis, Dibur HaMaskel Perush HaNashu, quotes a Tosfos, that, no, it's not about the Bailim. Anybody who is happy about the liquid coming in contact with the food, apparently, Hechsher is a Tanayim Kabbalah Tuma. So anyone could be Machshir the Ochel, because just like anyone could be Metame the Ochel. If I take a Sheretz and I put it on your bread, and you didn't want it there, but I put it there, is your bread Tame? Yes. I'm not a nice guy for doing that. What do we call that? What's that sugya if I'm Metame your food? Metame Medame Amenasech? No, I don't know. Hezek Shein Hanikin. It's Nezek, but it's Hezek Shein Hanikin. Right? Hezek Shein Hanikin. Shmei Hezek. Shmei Hezek. Why is it Hezek Shein Hanikin? You can't tell. Right? The mouse didn't leave droppings on your bread. It just touched it for a second. Right? You can't tell. It's got to be a dead shirt. Right? It feels alive. So it's Hezek Shein Hanikin. Right? There are other shitos as well that are sort of like in between shitos. The Tosa Rosh in Mesechus Gittin Daf Nun Gimel is mechalik between hechsher that's done by a Maisa Adam versus hechsher that happens memela. He says hechsher without a Maisa Adam requires Ratzon HaBailim, meaning the dew falling. That requires Ratzon HaBailim. But hechsher that happens Al Yidei Maisa Adam, then it doesn't matter who the Adam is. Meaning if someone washed it, if someone took a hose and washed all these pharaohs, then even if that someone is not the Bailim, it's going to be a Machshir L'Kabbal Tumah. Okay, so obviously in between Shitos, you're going to have a harder time, fitting into either the Sefer HaChinuch or the Ramban. The Gra, in his commentary to Maseches Machshirin, the fifth paragraph of Machshirin, is Mechalik between Hechsher that's done by Maisa Adam and Hechsher that's done without Maisa Adam. And he says that Hechsher that's done without a Maisa Adam requires Ratzon HaBailim. And Hechsher that's done without Maisa Adam doesn't need Ratzon anybody. Doesn't need any Ratzon. So a similar Chilik, but then he takes it even further. That if the Hechsher is done by someone washing it, no one has to be happy about it. if a person, even the guy who's washing it, didn't have to be happy about it. He wasn't trying to wash it. He was trying to have a water fight with his friend. And all these perils got in the way, so they all got wet. Yeah?
Maybe that fits with the Gemara that said that Machshava is Kemaisa, meaning that if Machshava is Kemaisa, he actually does the Maisa, then you don't be a Machshava.
Ah, very good. Right? That would work very nicely. Another fundamental machlokas that you have in the world of actually Kabbalah, and this will be the last thing we do for today. The very first Mishnah, Maseches Machshirin. Very first Mishnah, Maseches Machshirin, tells us, Kol Mashke Shetchilaso L'Ratzon, Afal Pishein Sofo L'Ratzon. Oh, Shesofo L'Ratzon, Afal Pishein, Tchilaso L'Ratzon, Harezeh B'chiyuta. That a mashke is going to be an actual Kabbalah Tumah, whether you were happy about it at the Tchila, or whether you were happy about it at the soap.
So you change your mind
when you're making soap. So that's about making soap. Machshir is talking about food only, right? The liquid touching the food. What is the tchila and what is the soap? What does that mean? It's water hitting food is a one split second event. Where's the tchila? Where's the soap? Says the Rambam. Hilchas Machshirin. I'm sorry, Hilchas Tumas Ochlin, Parakid Beis Alacha Beis, and in the Pirush Mishnayis on Machshirin, that first Mishnah, that Tchilaso means at the moment the Mashke touches the food, Sof is after it's already wet. Meaning, you may not have been happy when it first rained on this food, but afterwards you said, you know what, I'm actually happy that it's wet. Or, you may have been very happy when it first rained on this food, but afterwards you didn't want it to be wet anymore. That's tchila and sof. Either one would be enough to be machshir. Says the Rashmi Shantz in his parish to the Mishnah, Maseches Machshirin, and the Ravid in Hilchos Tumas Ochlin, Parakid Beis Halacha Beis, and Rov Rishonim, that tchila means when the rain left the clouds. That you heard it was going to rain today, you're like, you weren't even thinking about the peros. You didn't know that the rain was going to hit the peros. You just wanted rain. Why? You love the rain. You love playing in puddles with your rubber ducky. Right? You love rain. So that's what you were happy about. Right? Now, that's tchila. And that's enough to be machshir. That's when, once I saw that it hit my fruits, I was like, oh no, the fruits are all getting wet. I wasn't happy about that at all. I was just happy that the rain came out of the clouds. So no, let's put it together. Final piece, no? Which shita fits which shita? If you hold that hashal kabbal tumah is about the shame ochel, it's about the chefts of the ochel, is this a food? The fact that it's nichali, when it comes out of the clouds, it has nothing to do with the food. How's that mashal l'shem ocha? That has nothing to do with the food. But if it's about part of the process of tumah, so the process of tumah involves bringing the tumah to the food and bringing the glue to the food. So at any point, I wanted the glue to come out of the clouds, what we call rain, but we're calling spiritual glue, right? Metaphysical glue. I wanted the glue to come out of the clouds, and I wanted it to get toward the food. So it's able to be machshir the kabbal tumah. So it turns out that this is subject to the same machlokas. There may be other nafkaminas as well, but we're going to leave it at that. Okay. Have a great day, everybody. Tomorrow we'll do nusugya. Tomorrow I think zuto shliyam. Zuto shliyam is very nogeya. Let's say you're in someone's house and you say, "Wow, that painting's magnificent. What's the story?" Oh, well, the Nazis took it from a Jew in the Holocaust, and I bought it at auction. Well, do you know which family it took from? Yeah, their name is right on the back. Do you have to give it to them? Zuto shliyam. That's tomorrow's sugya. Okay, good. We have to talk about it.